Hi, I'm Marcus Edwards, and I'm interested in talking to people who are interested in talking to people who are interested in having a conversation about their future. Does that make any sense? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Recruiting Trailblazers. So I'm very excited to welcome my guest today to the podcast. Reno Perry is the founder at Wiseful, who connect companies to top talent from untapped online communities, leveraging the influencer model. They reached $1 million in ARR within 4 months of launching. He also writes daily to help people land a job they'll love, and he's amassed over 200,000 followers on LinkedIn. Also, Reno's developed a layoff list with 19,000 plus candidates that he shares freely on LinkedIn. He has an extensive talent strategy background, including 4 years at LinkedIn and 2 years at BetterUp. So welcome to the podcast, Reno Perry.
Hey, thanks for having me. Quite an intro as well. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I wrote it all by myself using your LinkedIn profile.
It's doing its job.
Yeah, fantastic. Great to have you on. I'm always excited to have somebody who's so well known on LinkedIn on the podcast. It's going to be a fun conversation. But before we get into the Wiseful story, which I can't wait to talk to you about what you're doing at Wiseful. But before we get into Wiseful and before we get into your journey to become an influencer on LinkedIn, you used to work in talent strategy at LinkedIn, the mothership, which I imagine played a very important part in the development of your career. Tell me a little bit about your role at LinkedIn.
Yes, very good. I did work at LinkedIn for 4 years, from 2014 to 2018. So it's bringing me back. Crazy to think that was almost 10 years ago when I started. But I worked on the talent solutions team there. And my role was working with some of LinkedIn's biggest companies, small companies I started, but then I started later on working with their large enterprise organizations on their talent strategy. So that included recruiting, that included talent branding, ways to think about making hiring decisions for candidates. And that was really my first dipping my toe in the water into this huge world that the recruiting space is. It's where I became passionate about that work. And it's really, I credit it for not only the content I write on LinkedIn daily, but even the company I started. A lot of the origin story was that work I was doing initially at LinkedIn.
Right. So you were really focused on talent strategy. You weren't just out there hawking emails and job ads. You were actually getting inside these organizations and helping them solve problems around their talent acquisition strategy. What were some of the biggest problems that you were solving for those LinkedIn clients?
So a lot of the clients we had, and this was, so if you think about 2014, 2018, we're still on the uptrend in terms of the economy. Talent, finding talent just became more and more competitive. And it really became, I want to say, not a game, but understanding how to fully leverage LinkedIn in a way that most people weren't thinking about. And I think we've maybe even chatted about this before, but a lot of recruiters know LinkedIn for, like you said, job ads, LinkedIn Recruiter, and emails. And it really is so much more than that, that a company can get out of LinkedIn. And we ran into a lot of issues where companies were using all the tools that LinkedIn had, but they weren't really seeing the success come through when it came to getting amazing talent through the door, getting people to accept their job offers. And a big part of that for me was working with a lot of companies that weren't relatively known to candidates. So a lot of unknown companies that were trying to attract the best and the brightest out there, and their emails weren't working, or maybe the job ads weren't working. So what else could they do? And so a big part of that was working on talent branding. So talent branding started to become a thing at that point, and companies were, it was still kind of a new concept. So we did a lot of work around talent branding and how they can leverage LinkedIn to promote their talent brand. But there was even a time at LinkedIn where we were going and working directly with the hiring managers and the teams to get everybody on the same page so that they also knew the mission that the recruiting team had, the organization had, to attract great talent, to bring that talent into their network as well. So, I mean, those are a couple of things at a high level. But
I mean, I know that's quite a journey, because recruiting organizations, both in-house and agency, have failed to see for many years failed to see the upside to talent branding and to investing in building that talent brand online because there's no direct ROI and we're kind of a transactional bunch by nature. And so getting people to sort of start posting on LinkedIn and tell stories on LinkedIn is quite hard because you've got to have the management buy-in to allow, you know, recruiters to do these sort of like non-transactional activities, haven't you?
Yeah, that was also tricky as well because you're working with the recruiting team and trying to get the alignment from the management, the hiring managers, the executive team. And a lot of this is a completely new language to them. It was very foreign. And so working with them to understand the importance of doing those relationship building activities, if you will, was a tough grind, I would say. And getting to invest in LinkedIn some more, getting the attention of folks, rather than just looking at LinkedIn as a place to send emails and post jobs. That was a really tough order back in those days, trying to get the organization in alignment there. But I think we did some good work.
It's funny because I think people still treat it that way. I think the majority of people still completely misunderstand and fail to harness the power of LinkedIn. Because they see it, you know, they're paying their thousands of dollars or whatever for their 150 emails a month and their job ads, et cetera. And so they feel that this is a transaction that's happening between them and LinkedIn. So they treat it as a transaction in the way they go after talent and the way they connect with people. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm just totally fed up these days with all of these like connect and pitchers who literally with you and instantaneously, I mean, probably it's probably automated through one of these illegal automation tools.
Absolutely.
You get their pitch, you kindly accept their connection request. And the next minute, you know, we are the best lead generation service, you know, in west of the Mississippi, you know, let's talk. And so I think people fail to understand that the fundamental problem with LinkedIn is that people fail to understand that the social contract outside of LinkedIn, you know, when you're in your normal life or when you're even at a conference or something, it applies within LinkedIn and in business. And recruiters especially are guilty of trying to rush their prospects up the aisle, aren't they?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, even now, a lot of folks can probably relate to getting those kind of emails, the connect and pitch. I don't work at LinkedIn anymore, so I could say that it's pretty saturated in terms of the whole connect and pitch move, where I am very suspicious when somebody tries to connect with me now. And I'm always thinking in the back of my head, is this going to be what I think it is? And so I always talk about that next frontier on LinkedIn of being able to connect with your audience in a different way. Sending the emails, the job ads aren't enough. Creating content, building those relationships. It's a lot harder work to put in, but there are organizations, there are recruiters who are winning as a result of doing that. And they're standing out amongst their peers in a way that no one else in the industry is. So
yeah, that's so true.
A ton of opportunity there.
I just don't think many people can see far enough around the corner to know to invest in these types of activities. And that's why it's turned into it's a bit of a dog's dinner now, LinkedIn. And, you know, the ROI on in-mails and connection requests, et cetera, have gone down massively for the very reason that you just cited, because everybody has the same mindset. Every time I see a connection request come in, I get dozens a day, I look to see, well, okay, what are they trying to sell me? And, you know, 90% of the time, it's because they're a coach, they're a lead generation service. You know, they're a tech vendor to the recruitment industry. And you know, 5 seconds later, once you accept that connection request, you're going to get bombarded or put into a sequence. And the next thing you know, you've got a full inbox again, full of these sales messages. And so I think everybody is a little bit frustrated with it. So the only real opportunity left on LinkedIn is to figure out how to build a brand, a personal brand on LinkedIn, and educate people and entertain people and just have some fun with it. Have some fun with the people that you're connecting with and stop trying to sell stuff immediately. It just doesn't work. And when people are going to get their head around that, I just don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. But to your point as well, we're seeing that transformation happening through LinkedIn, through the members. And hopefully it's not as boring to people when you hear great content and have a content strategy. When I first started working at LinkedIn, they had an influencer program or thought leader program. And it was only a select group of people that they had gotten to start creating content. It was Richard Branson. It was Arianna Huffington. And so no one else was posting content at that time. It was very, people were very nervous about putting anything out there that would work negatively against them. But now we're seeing people a lot more comfortable with that. In the recruiting space, I'm sure most of your audience are probably following someone who might be considered a top creator yeah. in the recruiting space, which, and some of them are pretty open with how it's helped them get leads and business and how they're going to events and people know who they are, candidates know who they are. And so it's really helped them in a tremendous yeah. way, not just in the recruiting space, but any niche now, a lot of niches I see people doing this.
I see what you're doing, Reno. You're getting me to stop talking about LinkedIn, which is right, because we shouldn't dwell on it for too long. But I think, so let's move into what's going on at Wiseful. But just to sort of like finish that thought sure. on LinkedIn, I just want to say to people, just stop trying to sell to people who don't know you. Get to know people first and get to know yep. their problems and then offer a solution. But if you do it the other yep. way around, if you're just out there offering solutions to people who don't know you, trust me, they're not interested. They're deleting your messages. That's not yep. how the world works anymore. And that's where this conversation is about to go. It's about to go in the direction of what you're doing in order to sort of change that whole sort of paradigm so that people are being influenced and buying from people that they think they know, or certainly people yep. with whom they've moved into their consciousness so they're more yep. comfortable with them. This episode of Recruiting Trailblazers is brought to you by Vertical Move. Vertical Move builds world-class digital transformation, product, and software engineering teams by sourcing only the top 5% of passive technical talent. Vertical Move's AI-powered digital skills assessment and paired programming protocols exemplify the most qualified candidates, thus expediting the hiring process and saving customers valuable time and resources. Vertical Move, for technical talent you can trust. So fast forward a few years now, you're the founder of Wiseful, you know, where you connect companies to top talent from untapped online communities, leveraging what we call the influencer model. I think you call it community recruiting. So what is community recruiting?
We do. So for now, we call it community recruiting. The name may change. People may call it something else, but we thought community was representative of all the different kinds of communities that we work with. And so when I say community recruiting, one easy way to look at it is, if you're a recruiter, is a good parallel is to look at it's influencer marketing for the recruiting space. I like to right. use that as a parallel, because it's been used for many years now with your marketing peers, where they will, you've probably seen this on Instagram or Facebook, TikTok, other platforms. Brands will go and work with these lifestyle influencers to promote a certain product or service. We are working in a similar way, but instead we tap creators on all those platforms as well. So LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. But instead of products, they are promoting your jobs and talent brand. And so we see that as a way to build an authentic relationship with the folks in those communities, whether it's somebody who's a popular creator on Twitter or LinkedIn and they have a big audience, or whether it's somebody who works in the engineering space and they maintain a newsletter of 5,000 loyal subscribers. So we look at that as a community as well. And so we're really looking at community in a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways.
I mean, this might seem like an obvious question, but can you sort of expand upon the case for using creators for recruiting, for leveraging creators for recruiting?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting concept. And when we'll go in and talk about it with companies, people will be scratching their heads and trying to understand why this model amongst the sea of all these different tools. And for me, I'm really looking at what is the next 5-10 plus years of recruiting going to look like. And a big part of that is, where are people spending their time? And so when you think about the future of the workforce in that time horizon, or who's going to be filling the workforce, I'm thinking about millennials, folks that are maybe Gen Z that you're trying to hire into roles, and where are they spending time? So they're spending time on Twitter, or now X. They're spending time on Instagram. They're spending more time on TikTok. There's a newsletter boom that's been happening the last few years. So they're reading their favorite newsletters. And so we looked at this a few years ago and started to see that happening and said, wow, people are really hungry for content in a way that we haven't seen before. And people are spending more time on these apps than we've ever seen before. And so we really just took that information to help inform the way that we work with them on a recruiting side of it and said, well, it kind of makes sense. Why don't we just put these jobs and these talent brand of these companies where these people are spending time? That way it's naturally in the environment where they're consuming. And so that's why I really think it's important. That's not going away anytime soon. We're just going to see more people spending time on these apps. So for us, it just made sense to tap into that.
So you're skating to where the puck's going to be.
Could have just said that, but yeah, yes, in a sense, we're trying to look at where the puck's going.
Yeah. So how does it actually work? I mean, where do you find the talent communities? Where do you find the influencers? How do you plug all this in? You know, if I'm a prospect client, how do you explain this to me, the process?
Yeah. So, you know, we help companies with this, but there are certainly companies that are going out there and doing this on their own. And I could talk a little bit about that. But I try to look at where are the topics of the conversations happening that are relevant to your business. I'm going to use LinkedIn as an example because a lot of people are sharing content on LinkedIn. But if you're talking about culture and career advice, you know, LinkedIn's a fantastic place. I think one of the top platforms that we're really looking at right now are LinkedIn from a content creation perspective. Instagram is really popular. So a lot of folks, millennials and Gen Z, spend time on Instagram. There's a lot of different communities on there. Reddit, Slack groups, Discord servers. So new popular newsletters, even smaller newsletters. And so we're looking at all these different platforms where we're seeing communities in different categories or functions.
Yeah. So run me through a sort of a typical scenario where you're having a conversation with a client has a need, you're pitching the service and explaining how it all sort of functions. Can you just run us through a kind of a soup to nuts scenario?
Yeah, sure. So if we engage a client and they're interested in, great, Reno, this is intriguing to me. I've never seen anything like community recruiting. What do we do here? How does this work? We'll walk through clients and mention to them that when they're working with us, when they're using our software, because it is a software platform that enables all this to happen, it's very much like using LinkedIn or Indeed or another platform. So you are filling out your jobs, you're sharing information on your company. That is a very familiar site. And then when you click post, what we do on the back end is we go and distribute that message that you want us to share, those jobs, out to all those different communities at the same time. And so what our algorithm does is it says, I'll give an example. So let's say you are a recruiter trying to fill a marketing manager role, and you go and use our platform, you post your marketing manager role, you give us a little bit, a snippet on what are the highlights of your company. So we always ask for that. That information will go then to that creator community. It gets distributed on the back end. So all these creators on these platforms will get a ping or a message from my company that says, hey, XYZ company is interested in working with you. Here are the jobs that they're going to post. Here is a messaging on what to share with your audience. And then they will go out and execute that and share content in the way that they typically do. So
do they bid for the job and then say, I mean, or do you advertise a price to them and say, this is how much we'll pay you based on, like,
yes,
I don't know, yep, their viewership figures or something?
Yes. So we have a rewards system where they get compensated for example, if they help get somebody hired from their audience into a job, they get paid for that. If somebody lands an interview, they get paid for that. And we track all of that on the back end too. So it's a way for them to monetize as well. And that's I would say a lot of the incentive for them is they're getting paid, but they also recognize that they're helping their community. So we've seen people are more willing to share jobs. It's not like promoting a product or something where people, they don't respond as well to that, but they're really just trying to help people with jobs and get paid while doing it. So it works pretty well.
So how do you establish which community you need to reach out to? And how do you build these relationships with all these creators so they understand what's required of them?
Yeah. So for us, we treat it like a sales process. And so every creator that we work with, we'll go and have calls, interviews with them to understand that, one, they understand the expectations of what they need to do for companies. But two, we're trying to understand from a brand safety standpoint, is this somebody that we would want representing us or these companies? And so that's also something to take into consideration. We've had to disqualify a bunch of people, unfortunately, because of things like controversial views that they're sharing openly on the platform, or they might be somebody who isn't interested in putting in the work to promote these companies and these talent brands. And so we treat it like a sales process. We interview folks as well before they get admitted to our essentially pool of creators. But you know, if you're a company just trying to do this on your own, I would take that similar approach as well before you find someone that you're comfortable working with. We do all that work for our clients, so they don't have to wonder who's a good creator, who do I have to worry about. But if you're a company just doing this on your own, that's probably something I'd recommend too, is really understand who you're working with before you get your brand out to that person's audience.
And what qualifies somebody as a creator that you'd be interested in working with?
Yeah, so for us, the definition is really broad, and that's why we also have a broad definition of community. But I see anyone who is building a audience or community of some sort and is doing some form of education or problem solving for their audience. So that's a pretty loose definition. But for us, a lot of the creators we go after are typically people who are putting out content that educates their audience on certain facets of their career or job. So if you're a software engineering creator, you're probably putting out content on how to be a better coder, some things to do once you become an engineering manager, how to manage your team. So what are some best practices or tech stack, or what's their tech stack? What tools are they using to help them in their job when they're coding? So that's one example of that in terms of that professional creator who's educating. We don't really do any of the lifestyle type creators that you, when you think of the word influencer, a lot of people associate with. We don't really do that. It's more the educational folks.
Right. I mean, there's a lot fewer software influencers than there are sort of creators who are selling you on the whole concept of becoming a creator, in fact. I mean, that seems to be one of the biggest spaces. The irony is quite large, isn't it?
It seems like it.
So is in technology, which is the sort of industry that I'm associated with as a recruiter or as a recruitment company, are there many people out there who have big followings and who have influence across platforms, the important platforms like LinkedIn? I would imagine TikTok's probably not quite as suitable to technology as LinkedIn is.
It's okay. Instagram works really well. I think a lot of people underestimate Instagram as a platform where there could be professional educational creators, but you would be very surprised. I'd say that's probably up there in the top three for us. LinkedIn, of course, makes a lot of sense. Twitter, X is a huge place where folks in the tech community like to hang out, especially if you're on the technical side. If they are on social, a lot of times they'll be browsing Twitter. Newsletters are really popular. There's been a huge newsletter trend in the last few years where I've seen a lot of folks in the tech community start a newsletter. But here's the thing that most people don't realize is we have some really big creators we work with, but you don't necessarily need to be a huge creator. If you have an audience of 1,000, a couple thousand folks, that's sometimes more than enough. Because when we look at trying to fill roles, all you need is the right person to fill that role, right? And so you don't have to have the millions of followers that people think about, or hundreds of thousands of followers when you think about a creator. That's not really the goal. It's just trying to find the right fit. And that can be anywhere, really.
How well does it work, this approach? How well does it work with specific technical roles? It strikes me that there could be, it's not a shotgun approach to recruiting, but it's not as specific as identifying who your potential prospects are on LinkedIn and then sending them a message or an email or whatever, or getting into the database and finding people with those specific skills. How do you sell the concept of this service to people who are looking to fill very specific, difficult to find roles?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because on the surface, there's a ton of people in a community, and there's no way to just say hey, so-and-so, I can just do a technical search on the detailed skills that people in your community have. So we actually do that work on Wiseful. And so that's the other layer of what we do, is building out that skills tree of certain people in those communities. Because what happens when people opt into jobs, they're signing up through Wiseful to create that profile to get that rich detail. And so one way I like to think about what we're doing is, step one is own distribution of the communities where we know that software engineers hang out, for example. Step two is bring them into our funnel and then categorize them into the right skill set, the right background, so that when companies actually use Wiseful, they can see what those skills are. They're getting the exact fit for what they need. But yeah, that's a good point. Initially, when you're trying to get these folks into the funnel, we're not doing that. But once they come through, we can.
Yeah. Well, what's the most common objection you get when you have the opportunity to pitch this to a client who's keen to recruit one or many people?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hesitancy with the approach itself, and it being something that is not familiar to some companies. When we work with tech companies or companies that are at the cutting edge, they totally understand it. I think a lot of times they see these content creators, they understand logically that, okay, people are spending time here, it makes sense, and they're willing to try new things. When you're not working with that segment, I think it gets a little bit tricky where people, they just don't understand the brand world. They're worried about their brand getting out into the wrong audience. They're worried about what kind of things are getting shared about their company. Is it going to be the right message? And so, you know, we get into these nitty gritty details about this whole influencer marketing creator world that I think is really a new concept to a lot of folks out there.
Yeah. I mean, would you say you're getting paid more as an employer branding platform than you are as a specific sort of recruitment delivery platform?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I would say right now the primary goal that companies come to us with is, can you help us fill these roles? And we do that. But the secondary benefit that is really unique that a simple job board or another platform can offer is, you are building an authentic connection with people in these communities. And so we pitch it that way. And companies understand that they're getting that benefit. But right now we aren't exclusively just pitching it as talent branding and this is what you get. We're still seeing that marker for success is, can we help fill your roles or not? But the talent branding piece is really secondary. But it's sort of a two birds approach, I think, that it's a company you're getting that other places can't offer.
Yeah, I mean, I've said on the podcast many times, I think you have to enter the consciousness of the prospects that you ultimately want to transact in a sort of non-transactional way before you get to the transactional bit. And so this exercise and this platform that you offer strikes me as somewhere where you can really go in and soften up your targets and start to build a brand and build some awareness. And then when you do reach out to those types of individuals, there's a good chance that they might have seen something on one of the platforms that you talked about earlier, on TikTok or LinkedIn or Reddit or one of those places. Yeah. Is that mainly what we're talking about here?
Yeah, 100%. It's about building trust with the audience, because a lot of these companies that use Wiseful that we help, they're not really known entities. So if you're Google, if you're Meta, you have these massive brands, this brand power that you can tap into. But if you're a Series B startup or, you know, Series A, even later stage, a lot of these camps don't know what you have to offer. They don't know that you're a good company. And so hearing it often across platforms, but also hearing it from people they trust, is a good way to build your brand in a way that you just can't do with a simple job ad. And so that's one way we look at it.
What is your actual deliverable? I mean, when the client says, okay, what can we expect as a result? What are you guaranteeing as a deliverable? And then the second part of that question is, how are you charging for it?
Yep. So we have a couple different ways that we work with candidates. One is really just going straight to, did we hire somebody or not? So a bit more of a paper hire model, which companies can opt into. Then we also have a subscription model where they are guaranteed a certain number of postings and candidate flow, but there's no, you know, we're not looking at, did you hire somebody or not? It's a bit more of a self-serve platform in that sense, where you can go and post your jobs. You can see who is applying, we'll work with you to make sure that you're getting the right candidates. But I'd say those are the two primary ways companies will work with us, subscription or a paper hire.
Yeah. If someone wanted to sort of like dip their toe in, what would your advice be? The best way to start investigating this service and figuring out if it's for them, and what would that look like from a financial perspective?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd love to have a conversation if somebody's interested in about this approach or just curious about what the heck is community recruiting or how is that even a good fit for a company like ours. Just feel free to have a chat. If they go to our site, they can check it out. We have our different plans and pricing even listed on there. People can sign up to have a chat with either me or someone on the team, and we'd be happy to talk them through it.
Cool. Can you give us a quick success story, Reno?
Yeah. I mean, we had a startup that was trying to work with us recently, and they're hiring software engineers. So I use that example a lot because we tend to get companies that are trying to fill a lot of technical roles. They had been looking for months and months trying to find this, and they were a newer startup, like Series A seed startup. They'd been looking for months and months trying to find the right candidate. They had signed up, used our platform, posted a job. We distributed it to the right software engineering communities. They had hired somebody in 2 weeks all the way through, not only finding them in the first couple of days, but they ran them through their process, which was pretty fast. I think a lot of people will be amazed that, you know, you can run through an entire hiring process in 2 weeks. But they did that. This person is awesome. They are killing it at this company. But that was one example of where we saw that they had been using all those other tools out there. I won't name them, but you know, they had been using kind of the traditional tools you would use to hire talent. And those really weren't working for them. And so that was a really cool story that we had recently this summer to see a company that was able to do that. So, and it's good for me to see because I know we're on the right path of being able to get in front of the right people and do it quickly in a way that can help companies out.
Yeah. Now you're speaking from a position of experience here because as a creator, you've amassed over 200,000 followers. What did that journey look like? And what kind of advice have you got for people who, having heard this podcast, realize that becoming a creator actually could really help your employer and make you more valuable as an employee if you are a creator and therefore potentially an influencer? Talk to us a little bit about your journey to go from, you know, zero to 200,000 plus followers.
Yeah, that's it's really interesting journey for sure. But it has opened a lot of doors for me and my business that I wouldn't have been able to do without that audience. And just at a high level, I will say that it's helped get a ton of interest and leads to Wiseful. But even from my own experience hiring the people at Wiseful, every single person has come through just creating content and posting about it. And a lot of the people, when I'll interview them or when they apply, they'll say, I've been following your content for a long time, or I feel like I know who you are as a leader or your company because you are just sharing all this stuff that you're doing. And that's the power of that creating content and building an audience is you're connecting with people in a way that you don't even realize you're doing, but people are reading, they are digesting what you're saying. And so this concept of building a brand is real and anybody can do it. Because when I started it, I think I had less than 1,000, maybe 500 connections. I was still working somewhere else. And I just dedicated myself to creating content, seeing, and I didn't, you don't have to go out and buy all these courses or hire a coach. I literally just watched what other people were doing. And I said, you know what, I am going to just try that and experiment. And I'm going to pick a niche, pick an angle. And I just kept doing that each week. And I was able to just steadily grow year over year. And so I think that would be my advice to folks is there's a lot of power in building that. You become an asset to you and your company, whether you're trying to generate leads, get talent in the door, you name it. It's definitely a distinctive way to do this and connect with people that just blasting an email or sending a message to people just can't do.
Tell us a little bit about your niche.
Yeah, so like the space that I work in, my niche is careers, recruiting, future of work. So a lot of my content is very specific and I stay on message, stay on brand. So I think that's what's also really helped me is a lot of people know me for talking about certain topics. So a lot of times I will share tips on how to craft a great resume that gets the attention of recruiters and hiring managers. I might share information about what we're assessing in the interview process as a hiring manager. I might share information on how to network. So it's a lot of content related to finding a job or just leading teams or how to be a great leader, I would say. And I'll hit on those topics over the weeks, just kind of do a rotation, if you will. But I talk mostly about those.
Yeah. Let me put you on the spot just for a second here, because I get a lot of recruiters listening to this podcast, and there's been, a lot of grief in the in-house market over the last 6 months or a year. What's your sort of top advice to recruiters who are looking to get back to work at the moment, who might either be unhappy or they've recently lost their job?
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice. I would first say that you have a tremendous skill set at your disposal. And it's really unfortunate to see what a lot of these companies are doing. I think we just saw the other day that a pretty large company laid off a pretty large segment of recruiters, and it's still happening. And I think if you were to go out there and start creating content to build something for yourself, there's a path to do it, and that there's people that are willing to listen to you. There are job seekers that you can immediately get their attention with, because you are someone who has the expertise working in that space and can share that knowledge with them. But even if you're looking to build a brand with hiring managers and companies, I still think that this space there's a lot of opportunity in it. There's a lot of room for some experts to pop up. And if I think about the experts in the space right now, I could probably count on one hand or two hands who they are. And so it's pretty nascent. I think there's a lot of opportunity there to go out there and try and create and build something for yourself. But I just want to say there's like I said earlier, tremendous skill set at your disposal. And I know it might be a tough environment looking at the recruiting landscape, but I think there's a lot you have to offer.
It might be hard for some recruiters who are looking for work to give advice to other people about how to look for work when they're looking for work themselves. But if you do look inward as a recruiter, you have that skill set. You have the ability to be able to coach people in doing exactly what you've been doing. And you've amassed over 200,000 followers. So there's definitely a need for it. And in the economy that we're in right now, I think that kind of content gets lapped up quite nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think back to what happened in 2020, there were a same period, ton of recruiters who were laid off, ton of folks laid off. And they were able to find success in being able to go out there and still use that knowledge they had to share with job seekers, share with other recruiters. And so I see a similar path or pattern that people can take advantage of at this moment. And I would say don't discount it too quickly. You have a lot of knowledge there that people just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to get out there and stick your flag in the LinkedIn sand, so to speak.
You got to do it, yeah.
You got to do it. How can people get hold of you, Reno, if they want to hear more about Wiseful and how they might be able to solve some of their recruiting woes using your service?
Yeah, sure. People can just reach out to me directly. We talked about LinkedIn. I am always on LinkedIn. I'm pretty engaged. So if you send me a connection request with a note, or just send me an email, I'll get back to you. My email is just reno@wiseful.co. So people can just reach out to me directly there. And I'll be pretty open and just share what we're doing. If you're looking to DIY it, happy to talk about some ways to do that as well. And even just the creator side of it, my journey from zero to 200K followers and how I did that, always down to talk to folks about it.
Excellent stuff. Reno Perry, we've put the recruiting world to rights once again. Thanks for coming along to Recruiting Trailblazers today. It's been a pleasure, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.